I'm going to start by asking you some personal questions. Please don't respond. It'll only upset you or I. And when I'm asked in these, I was with Pastor and I said to him, what I'm going to say is probably going to upset people. I'm sorry. But it ain't mine. It's from the Bible, so you're not upset with me, really. But anyway, if you are, come and see me afterwards and, you know, I'll apologise if that's what's needed. So look at your heart, because the church is in a state, not this one particularly, the church, the whole church, God's family, and people that claim to be God's family aren't doing what they should do. You know, I don't do what I should do. So the first person here, you know, you hear it often from preachers, I'm preaching to myself first. Until you do it, you don't know, oh yeah, you've really got some front if you're going to go around poking at people. So I mean to be intrusive. So there you go. How's your walk? How's your walk with God? Honestly, you don't have to tell me. Honestly, yourself, do you walk with the Lord? We was talking, was it Thursday, Enoch and Elijah, that walked so much with the Lord, he just took them. I like to think he took them because he wanted to be with them. He didn't want them away anymore. He just took them up because he's friends. Is your walk like that? Do you want to walk like that? I do. Well, I'm not very good, so. Do you feel that you've let down the Lord and that is affecting your walk? Do you feel you're not a good enough Christian? Do you feel that you don't do the things you do? Well, you don't, so. But no one does. So you're in a good crowd, really. Is your heart in it, though? I just can't focus on my God life because I'm too busy. As a teacher, I spent a long time complaining. A very long time complaining. And I was often saying it's too much for me. I can't do it. And what I noticed was I couldn't do it. It takes too much of your time. If you're not careful, your work will take over everything. What do you think about at night? I've got to make sure I go to sleep, got to be up for work. Got to get to the train, can't be late for work. Can't do anything on social media in case work see. Can't have arguments in case someone reports it back. Can't give my opinion of anything in case work sack me. It's hard, isn't it? Hard being a Christian. Is it time that we changed? I'm not asking everybody to get sacked. It may take some people to get sacked, but Israel Folau got sacked. Do you know Israel Folau? Rugby player. He said homosexuals are going to hell. He's right. He also said loads of other people were going to hell as well, but no one cared about those. So if you say stuff, you're going to get in trouble. But do you have to say stuff? I probably think you do. Have you anything that you're having trouble with in your Christian life? I'm not praying like I should. I've noticed that I'm being a bit idolatrous towards a football team. This is one of my things that I used to be quite idolatrous about. And I only sort of cottoned on later on that it was a little bit of an issue when I got so mad about things. Your prayer life can always be better. You know, there's that missionary that went to the Native Americans. What's his name? You know the name.
Brainard.
I look at him for the details. Brainard. The man was permanently talking to God, and he wrote his diary up about his prayers. The man was taken up with it. Granted, he wasn't holding down a normal 9-to-5. He had other issues, like Native Americans with bows and arrows that wanted to kill him quite regularly. But how much are we going to give up? I don't know. I'm way too interactive with my phone and it's not good for me. Is anybody suffering from this? I've been on the phone this week trying to get a job. I don't really want to teach. We've said that before. But I've noticed, I just want to look at the phone to see more messages, something, somebody contacted me, and you think, it's a bit unhealthy. That's just, I don't like the phone, but I've noticed that. Other people that you may know may be like that all the time. That's not good for them. Maybe have a word. Really? I don't care if they're Christians or non-Christians. That's just weird behaviour. You should not be on your phone like that. How's the world making you feel about the way your faith works? That's a big one. I feel like I don't belong, which is really good in one way. I'm glad I don't feel comfortable in this world. That gives me great hope that I'm going to heaven. But I shouldn't get so angry about it. As anybody that has been on Thursdays know my feelings about Jeremy Corbyn. And just for balance, we can have Trump, Sadiq Khan and the LGBT movement. I just shout at the television. I see them come on, they say something. I say, that's rubbish. And I get angry. That ain't right. You could almost convince yourself, yeah, righteously, you know, it's what they're making the people do. The people would do it themselves. They're quite happy about it. Oh. What are you saying? Why am I so angry? If I'm angry because it's injurious to the Lord, that's a good thing. If I'm angry because I don't think my country should be like that, you've got no right. Simple statement. So, now I've given you some clues about my time off. What do you think a Christian's responsibility is? What do you think you're here for? Now, if you're under pressure, I've got to look at my notes. If you're under pressure, you feel like, I've got to be there, I've got to drive home, I've got to do the marking, I've got to do the office work, I've got to do this, I've got to do it. And you keep on going and going and going. And do you make time for doing God's work? I mean, this is as much to me as it is to anyone else. Do you find yourself sitting down and just going, oh, that's 25 minutes gone. I ain't done nothing with that 25 minutes. I'm not saying, oh, quickly, every spare moment, you know, get on your knees and pray. Wouldn't be a bad thing. Don't think I could do it. Probably very few people could do it. But are you seeking to do something special? Are you seeking to seek the Lord for someone? Anyway, so that's my little, what I think is lacking in the church, lacking in myself, is godliness. And we spoke about that on Thursday. We said godliness is your attitude towards God, having a relationship you want to build towards God. And then Pastor helpfully pointed out that the Lord Jesus is godliness personified. His works, the way he lived his life, the way he come from a virgin, all the way through. If you're not interested in that, you're not seeking after God. If you're not really interested in the life of Christ, that's really weird. As a Christian, you know, have a look at where your priorities are. What do you think about Jesus? Now, this is dangerous territory to be going on, you know. Go up to a Christian, poke him in the chest and say, I don't think you love the Lord enough. A good Christian would say, you're about right there, fella. How are you going to change it? How are you going to change it? Why should you change it? Are you going to change? Every week we come here and we get an injection of information and desire about what we should be doing as Christians, and I find it hard to apply it. Maybe you find it hard to apply it. But we're not having an effect on the world much. Not this group of people here, but other people. We don't seem to be influencing much at all. No one really is shouting about it. So I thought to myself, what's a book no one really reads? I'll read that. Because someone's hiding something from me. That's what I thought. Someone's hiding. There's got to be something somewhere that there's a key to this and it's got to be hidden somewhere. So I thought maybe Leviticus. When I was a kid, I read the whole Bible and then I get to Daniel. I got to the minor prophets and then stopped because I couldn't read really well. Really struggled with it. Anyway, I read quite a lot of it. Leviticus was the one that just went, oh, it's just a bit baffling. It's just these things dying all the time. There's a turtle dove and that's getting wings busted. And oh no, what's that all about? Why? Oh, and I didn't know. So I thought to myself, I've got some time off. I'll have a read, see what's going on. And the pastor said, maybe you could do something on Leviticus. So I thought, all right, I'll give it a go. So the book of Leviticus can be broken into sacrifices and rituals, or 1 to 7. The priesthood, these are all laws of how you should go about it, given to us by God. God really speaks a lot in this chapter. If you had the red ink, like you do for the Lord in the New Testament, it'd be a very, very strange book, because this one's got so much red ink in it, you'd think people would pay lots of attention to it. And then you've got uncleanness and purity, animals and activities and stuff. Then you've got chapter 16 that's about the atonement, and 17 to 26 about holiness. Now, I did have, like a good teacher, handouts, but you'll have to get them at the end because I was late. Also, like many teachers. So, the handouts, which would have been very helpful, tell you about the way Jesus is seen in the sacrifices, and I'll talk some bit about that in a moment. Let's think about when the book was written. The book was written after the Passover, so the Jews had been purchased. The Jews were on a journey to a promised land. They were freed from the bondage, and they hadn't reached their promised land yet when they got these laws. They are a chosen, bought people looking for a living relationship with their God. Is that like us? That's a similarity. I was quite happy with that. We're in a much better position. We have the Holy Spirit. We have a finer, better sacrifice than they did. But we have been slaves to Satan. And now we're slaves to our Saviour. We don't like to say we're slaves to our Saviour. We don't do our own stuff. We're not free to do what we like. But I'll call it service to our Saviour. So it sounds a little bit more, nicer. But you are a slave. You are the Lord's bondservant. We are on a journey to a promised place. The new heavens and the new earth. Does anybody think about them at all? I regularly do not think about those things. I think about heaven. But Pastor always reminds us it's the new heavens and the new earth that we're going to. Which is, that's where you've got to have another relationship with the Almighty, isn't it? That's going to be different to what it is now. And all of these, when they was in the wilderness, and as we are making our journey through the world that we're in, we want to have spiritual contact with God and to keep us in the right relationship with Him. Yeah? That's what it's about. So I'm just going to quickly talk about those in terms of the first five sacrifices. I ain't going into too much depth. And then I'm going to pick out, there's about 10 things. Maybe I can talk a long time. There's 10 things that I'd like to share. So this is going to be reading. I do apologise. This is going to be reading. So the first one's the burnt offering. Male without blemish from the flock to make atonement. turtle doves or pigeons for the poor. That's nice. The Lord looks after us there. Here we have the highest aspect of the work of Christ, where he is seen offering himself up eternally to God to do his will even unto death. The whole offering, except the skin of the animal, was burnt upon the altar, and all went up to God as a sweet-smelling savour. It is a picture of Christ who gave himself as a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savour. Christ is not seen here as bearing our sins, but as accomplishing the Father's will, glorifying him and vindicating the holiness and majesty of the throne. The theme is especially prominent in John's Gospel and in Psalm 40. The meal offering. This offering typifies Christ as the perfect and sinless man and presents to us his wonderful person and his spotless life, which was ever an offering of a sweet-smelling savour unto God. Now, the sweet-smelling savour thing, I just like, remember that that place in Judges where, was it Samson's parents' offering? And the Lord sort of danced in the flames of the smell. Really strange goings on, but that's what we're talking about. The Lord couldn't live with them in the same way as he can with us, because we have the Spirit and can have that relationship. But that's a real desire to be with you in your offering. You know, and the Lord is enjoying it. And so the sweet-smelling savour is that type of relationship. It speaks of perfectness of person rather than of his death. The fine flower pictures his sinless humanity, which is evenness of moral qualities. The oil pictures the grace and power of the Holy Spirit which characterised his life, while the frankincense is emblematic of the sweetness and the fragrance of his person and life. Again, on a Thursday, I sort of got this insight from what the pastor was saying, and I didn't realise how dirty the earth was for a holy God. And then we was having a discussion, and I thought, more and more of the condensation, the more the Lord had come down and to dwell amongst people, to be amongst the filth. It must have been very hard. You couldn't walk through somewhere that was choking, could you? You'd cover your mouth, you'd want to get low to the floor and run out and get into the fresh air as quick as you can. But the Lord spent 33 years, 32 and a half years, living in moral decay. And he's a holy God. Must have been very, very unpleasant, to say the very least. The peace offering. This was also an offering of a sweet-smelling savour. The blood, the fat and the kidneys of the offering were put upon the altar as the food of the offering made by a fire unto the Lord. I must admit, I do not know too much why the Lord would want the kidneys, the caul of the liver and some other things. I haven't plumbed those depths yet, but it comes up with quite regularity. I think it's, you know, I don't know who else was going to eat it, but weird. I really, if anybody knows, see me afterwards. This was God's part. Then the breast was given to Aaron and his sons, and the right shoulder to the offering priest. This was man's part. Thus God and man both fed on the same offering, which speaks of communion and fellowship and typifies the communion which the believer in Christ enjoys with God on the grounds of the work of the cross and his blood shed for our sins. We are at peace with God through the work of the cross and can feed upon Christ in fellowship with the Father. Luke's Gospel is prominent, and Psalm 85 for any further reading. Two more and then I'm moving on. The sin offering. Sin offering, non-sweet smelling savour. The special feature of this offering is in the whole bullock being burnt offering. The ground outside the camp of Israel after the blood and the fat were put upon the altar for God. The offering was for the sin and pictures to us, Christ who was made sin for us and endured the judgment and wrath of God against sin in our stead as a substitute. The holiness of God and the awfulness of sin are brought out in the bullock being entirely burnt up outside the camp. It pictures Christ forsaken of God as our sin bearer, as given in Psalm 22. And the last one, the trespass offering. Here, sin is looked at as a trespass against the government of God. When I was a kid, we used to say the Lord's Prayer with trespasses in it. And many of my references and some of my stuff are from the time when I learned I was as a child. So they're from the New King James. Amendments had to be made for the wrong done. Amends had to be made for the wrong done, and a fifth part added to it. Atonement was made by the blood of the offering, and the trespass was forgiven. The offering presents Christ who died for our sins and trespasses on the cross, restoring that which he took not away. He has not only answered to God for our sins and paid our debts, but he has shed his blood and he has added the fifth part, as it were, bringing more glory to God, more blessings to man that he had before sin was committed. This is the first view the sinner gets of Christ on the cross. So, that bit. So now, very good, Rob. I knew some of that anyway, and we know about the cross. What good is that going to do me tomorrow when I go to school or I go to my workplace? Really need bifocals for this. Because you're not helping me here. There's nothing you've talked about, whole burnt offerings. You know, we know the Lord has been made sin for us. So a lot of that doesn't really help me. So I thought to myself, how can this be helpful? So it was a list of about 10 things that I think should be helpful when you consider this. You must go to the tent or temple. You can't stay home and do your own thing. You can't go to the local synagogue. You can't set up a similar place that is near, as was done when the 10 tribes broke away. You just can't go to a higher place or a grove, because these are linked to the worship of other gods. What does that mean to us now? Where is that in your walk? Do you worship God on your own terms, or do you worship him on his terms? When you come to his temple, I'm not saying this is a temple. You come to the prescribed route. You meet together because it's prescribed for you, for your goodness. In the Old Testament, an Old Testament person, no, I'm all right, I'll just get my goat and I'll cut its throat here, we'll be all right. That isn't going to wash. No one's going to say your sins are forgiven now, you're all right. That means you've just made preparing dinner. That doesn't mean the same thing. You can't do it your way. That means yourself has got to be taken out of the picture. When you worship God, when you're looking to make a difference in the world for the Lord, it's not on your terms. It's on his terms. When you bring your sheep, goat, and or other specified creature, you're supposed to bring your best. I hope this isn't too cheeky. Specimens are not supposed to be old, sad, fat, and odd-looking or diseased. Rob, again, where's this going? What are you saying to me? I'm saying, what is your life like? Are you, in your witness, moping about? Seems strange. Why are you moping about? Aren't you saved? Aren't you going to heaven? Doesn't the Lord love you? Hasn't he come down? Hasn't he come down to be with you? Hasn't he come looking for you? Like the prodigal son. Hasn't he seen you afar off and come for you? There's no need to be sad. You know, I've been sad. I've moped. You know it. You know it, missus. You know that I've moped there and complained. It's just not right. It's not fair to God. It's ungodly. And a characteristic we've really got to deal with. What is the condition of your sacrificial life? The age of the lamb is not specified, other than what can be inferred that it's a lamb when you ask for a lamb. It's going to be of the increase, isn't it? When they was coming through the wilderness, that they was having the lambs and the kids, and they would be raised up. The Lord has already blessed them with those offerings. And then they offer those things that the Lord has provided as an offering to them, the Lord, to say thank you often. And to say, I don't want to be a sinner no more. So in your life, the things that you've sacrificed, the things that you don't do anymore, that you used to do, that you used to enjoy, you're giving those up. Why are you giving those up? Because you want to be more like Jesus. And you're giving them up because you don't want to live like that anymore. Oh no. Confession time. When I was a kid, then I met my wife. And my wife used to give gifts all the time. I come from a slightly poorer background where we had very little money. So gift giving was really quite difficult because I didn't have any spare money. I couldn't just go and save up stuff. I didn't have it. And my mum would say, 6 apples in a fruit bowl. That's you got. It's one each. You can eat it when you like, but it's one. You take one. Yeah? You've got clothes. Don't wear your brother's clothes. Because you've got like a set of clothes at one time of the year, a set of clothes another time of the year. That's it. You can't go around taking up. You only have what you've got. Yeah? You can only give what you've got. You can only sacrifice the things that you've are paying too much attention to, that you do too often. Golf. I noticed, I started playing golf and it was a bit of a challenge. And then the third time I played it, I went, this is like two and a half, three hours I've been out here. This isn't good. I want to go home and see my children. I'll give that up. You know, and if I can work that out for my own children, why can't I work it out for my own God? Who loves me more than I can love my children. Now, diseased offerings, I thought about this, and I thought of enduring sin, someone who can't just kick a habit, a bad habit. It's not a pleasing offering to the Lord. If you would have turned up with a gammy-legged sheep to the front of the tabernacle and tried to offer it, they would have gone, go and find something else. Bring me something better. If Aaron's priests were going to throw that particular sacrifice, go away, come back another time with something decent. What should we be like? Yeah? What should we be like? You know, I enjoy drink too much. I watch too much television. And I'm not really going to get into the other sins. Because, you know, I don't know what people's sins are and I don't really want to go there. And I'm not going to tell you about all of my sins from up here. Certainly not. But there's the deep-seated will of someone. You know what I'm talking about. I don't want to do this. I can't be bothered to. Now, I confess to my wife. You know I had a bit of trouble recently and I've stopped working. And I not only noticed, when I got better, how useless I was to my wife for about 18 months, 2 years. I sat in a chair complaining about how bad it was for me. and I didn't get off my backside to help my wife to ease her load. What sort of witness is that to my nearest and dearest? The mother of my children. We're supposed to be working as a team so my son, who I just prayed for, sees that there's something different about me and my wife. See, I can beat myself up about it. You can beat yourself up about it, you know, in your own head. And the other thing, are you any good at forgiving people? Are you any good at forgiving people? Sorry, ladies, you hold a lot of stuff back. I've crossed boys and we've almost come to blows at school. Then they're my mate, 3 weeks down the line, it's all good, we're back to it. Girl, I told a girl in Bexley, the school, the Catholic school over there, do you want a couple of minutes because your hair's all over the show? Because you've just been running for the bus and it's been windy. And your hair's a bit of a... Who do you think you're talking to? She didn't talk to me for the rest of the time I was there. I was trying to be kind, but no. So, if you hold a grudge, what sort of message is that sending? If you're in a group, you're at work, and someone says, he's a Christian or she's a Christian, and you don't want to cross her, she's vicious. She'll hold down to that. She'll find out. When you are weak, she will find out and she will play that card. She will get you. You can't be like that. You can't have that. Right? When you've got animals and grain, you can only bring those things that are prescribed. Yeah? You can only bring the things that they say that you want. Put it this way. What would happen if you went to the tent with an offering of... a crocodile or a lion? That's just inappropriate. What you got a crocodile and a lion for? What are they? You wouldn't want that because they're hunter-killer animals. What does that say about what we are bringing? They're pastoral, they're looked after, they're cared for. The people that look after them, you looking after your walk, because your walk will be the sacrifice that the Lord wants, is inspecting. Is it good enough? Am I feeding it? It looks a bit... It's looking unwell. We'll take it to the vet. Who's the herdsman that knows the business with the vet? Yeah? So, all of these animals are pointing towards the way that... certain characteristics that are going to apply to your life. How am I going to make my animal, my walk, acceptable? The animals must be of the flock from the herd. Animals that have been domesticated and cared for so that they can be free of blemishes and worms. Just imagine trying to offer to God an animal that was full of worms. And wild animals are full of worms. You know, you can't eat wild kangaroo. It's dangerous. You have to raise them and then, you know. Christian's walk should mark with their life, the herd as toothless. Is your walk full of peace? Are you at peace with everybody? Are you at peace with your nearest and dearest? Do you hold a grudge? I was holding a grudge with one of my brothers recently. Shame on me. Not now. I told the Lord I was sorry and I told him I was sorry. So, you know, that's the way it's got to be. I'm sorry, I've done something wrong. I've offended you and I've offended God. Let's talk about it. Let's be friends now and let's carry on and do the best for our Lord. Do you have the opportunity to join in gossip at work? Well, this ain't gossip, it's just a bit of knowledge. Just something someone told me. Yeah, somebody might recognise that. How hard is it just to go, bring it back? Yeah, but he was horrible to me the other week. He deserves his comeuppance. Yeah, don't do that. That's no good. That isn't a good sheep. That isn't a quality offering to the Lord. If there is troubled waters, yeah, in an office or in a relationship, do you go up to it and try to smooth it over, or do you just go, another bucket on there? Let's really You know, you might have every right to, in a way. This is a problem that you've caused. We should sort this out. That's not the way the Lord wants you to do. You've got to be peaceful. You've got to be looking to join people together. Right, here we go. This is my big confession to you people. I really do feel sorry. My other church as well. So this has been a grumble for a long time. I complained about being a teacher for so long. So long. It is really rude of me to have done so. And I was counting my blessings. This job that I've despised, the Lord's provision I've despised, has enabled me, yeah, has enabled me to hold on, I wrote it down. I've got a house. I'm buying a house. I've nearly bought a house. I've had holidays of exotic nature. I've brought up two children and they've wanted for nothing. They've been on holidays with us. I have had time off as a teacher and I've been able to build a relationship with my children that very few other people that aren't in the teaching profession get to do. You know, my brother over there gets a Wednesday off to be with his boy. I get afternoons off. I get my Saturdays and my Sundays off. All of those 28 years, I've had all of that off. I can get my mum to church. I can get her to Thursdays because I'm not working like Nick late into the night. You know? And all of these things I've done and I've complained because it's a bit stressful or it's very stressful or the kids didn't like me or someone's made it very hard for me to do my job. Do you know what? That was your job. That was your job to cope. Toughen up. Sometimes, you know, you are going to go down. You know, sometimes you're going to have to withdraw yourself. You've got to manage that. You've got to see the signs early. You know, and sometimes you've got to move on. Now, I stayed at the schools I was at for too long, probably. I got comfortable. Things should go my way. I've been here a long time. But they didn't. And it ends up that I'm not employed as a teacher anymore. And I'm looking for money to support my life. When you're without it, you're going to look at it and go, the Lord was good. I think I should have been a bit more thankful. So, all those people that heard me grumble, I was wrong. Stop that, Mr. Long. Right, that was just the temporal blessings. Right? If we add to those things that the Lord has given us, you know, what else has he given him? I've been adopted into the family of the being that made the universe. That's something not to start with, is it? Why have I not started there? That's a big one. I had all my sins forgiven. All your sins forgiven. All that I'll ever do. I can't go to hell. I can't go to hell because the blood of Jesus Christ is on me and accounts for my sins. When I stand in front of God, God will see the works that Christ has done and I get a free pass, good and faithful servant, in you go to heaven. I don't think I take that in. Do you take that in every day? We're in a good position. One of the things I'm looking forward to is the rapture. I would like to be alive for the rapture because I think it would be really great just flying into the sky. Right? So as well as all that stuff, if the Lord tarries not so long, then when he comes back, I can fly up to meet him. And even if I'm dead, I'll be raised out of the ground and I'll fly up to meet him. There's some flying to be done. You don't get to do that very often, you know. And you know what? Not only all of that, I'm going to be with someone who loves me throughout eternity. The same God that danced in the fire with the the sweet smelling savour, the same God came with Jesus. In Jesus, Jesus was holy and pure, lived the life, and he's going to be there to see me. And I'm going to see all the people that I've always heard about in the books of the Bible, and they're going to be, and you know what? They're all my family. I'm going to go to my real family who are in heaven. And they are going to be pleased to see me, and the angels are going to make a loud noise. They're going to be, look, Rob's made it. That's good. Chola's made it. That's good.
Amen.
Tamar is there. And praise the Lord, and we hope that Elijah will be there, and Abigail, and Ezra, and who's the two babies that were there today? I don't know them ones. Theo and Bethany. Do you like coming home? Coming home is great. It's one of the things I look forward to. You're going to go to your real home, where the Lord has been waiting, like the prodigal son's father, itching for you to come home. Going to give you a white coat and a crown. It's good to see you, boy. It's good to see you. Marvellous. What's time? Oh, I can talk for long. Sorry. I've got another one. We're all right. Number four. You must follow the directions. You cannot make up your own rules or your own sights. I said that one. It must be done with reverence, the sacrifice, in an atmosphere of worship, not commerce. You've got the prosperity gospel. Do this, do this, do this. God will bless you. And that ain't the way it goes. Get to know me. I'll make you holy. You'll do good works. I will praise you for those good works. I will bless you for those good works. I'll give you more works to do. And you know, sometimes you ain't going to cope with those works. So you're going to have to talk to the Lord about how to cope with the things that he's given you. Because he wants to know you. He wants to know you in your struggling. You know, whatever you've got. I was struck by the pigeons and the turtle doves, and because it sounds all right already, doesn't it, that the Lord's made provision for poor people and rich people alike. But then I said, well, I've got to spiritualise that, haven't I? I've been spiritualising all the rest of it. I can't just say, yeah, and that one's good. Then I thought to myself, what's that like? Now, have you ever seen a missionary and you go, wow, That man's really sacrificing his life. Who did we used to have here? Was he from Peru? Where was he from?
Daniel Caballero.
Yeah. That man was overtaken with the Lord. He's come from South America over here to get educated so he can go back and tell more people and train more people so that the word of God comes out. We can't all do that. Maybe that's a big bullock or a sheep of a sacrifice, you know. Maybe you say, well, I'm just not going to take that job because it won't allow me to work on Sunday. That's a sacrifice. You're going to miss out on that. I don't know. Where does that put it in the range of it? I don't really know. It's probably somewhere near a goat, I should imagine. You know, and people that struggle, you know, people that are at the closer to glory end of things, they can't sacrifice a lot. They've done all their sacrificing. Yeah? So God isn't unhappy with you. God is happy with you. And he's made provision. He said, I love your turtle dove sacrifice. The things that you do that you can give please me. How lovely that the Lord is pleased with the tiny sacrifices as well as the large sacrifices. Yeah? Then it goes to the the parable of the talents. From much is given, much will be expected. You know, when you are given opportunities, take them. You get bigger rewards. You know, be profitable. If you was going to pick for yourself a grain of wheat, what sort of grain of wheat would you want to be? Would you want to have the like threefold, 60, or the hundredfold? I want to get as much return as I can. I want to be a profitable grain, an ear of corn for the Lord. And how come I can't be? How come? What is it doing? Why is it all going wrong? I'm in my way. I'm in my way. We are in our way because we think too much of ourselves and too little of God. And, you know, I'm not trying to criticise you, as I've said before. I'm actually not going to quote something from the Bible. I am often saying this to people, and if I said it to you, I do apologise. Christmas Carol. And Scrooge is talking to a ghost. And the ghost of Jacob Marley says, but people were our business. People are our business. The lost are our business. We're going to put all our hopes on the pastor. He'll preach us up a storm. We'll just bring him in. He'll do it. Ain't going to work. Me and the pastor went out yesterday. We had some nice chats, but we knew that it wasn't anything to do with us. The Lord brought a young lady, Sophie, that had been thinking about stuff without us. So the Lord does what he wants in the realm of man, and he's given us the opportunity to join in. We can be in the flames with him. He's going to feel the joy of being in there. Now, the last thing I'm going to say, because it's nearly time to go home, people got to put people to bed. Do you know Eric Liddell? He's quite well known, isn't he? He's a 400 metre runner. The Wootton run 400 metres in the Olympics, because it was on a Sunday. Now, whether you think about the Sabbath, whatever way, one day is one person can keep it, the other one don't have to keep it. I'm not saying anything about that. But he was so taken up to defend his God that he thought the Lord would not be happy with my witness running on a Sunday. The man had trained for years. His whole life was geared around running fast. And he said, no. I'm going to give up that and I'm going to run the 400 metres instead. And he won. The Lord will bless you when you stride out for him. Yeah, and what he said, and what the only thing that if you take away this and apply it to your week, the Lord made me for China and he made me to run fast. Because Eric Liddell went out to be the missionary to China. And when I run, I feel his pleasure. Now, that sends goosebumps up my neck every time I've said it, because that is how everybody should want to be. God has made me to save sinners, to be with the saving people, to help their walk, to bring others in. But he's made me for teaching as well. And when I teach, I feel his pleasure. And when I do the gardening, I feel his pleasure. And when I do the piano, I feel his pleasure. And when I'm running my school and I'm getting smashed to bits because I'm doing two people's jobs, I feel his pleasure. And when I raise my kids, I feel his pleasure. And when I'm looking after my neighbours, I feel his pleasure. And when I'm doing Thursdays, I feel his pleasure. And when I'm dispensing drugs to the old and ill, I feel his pleasure. And when I'm doing my, what is it that you do, Tamar? I don't want to get the wrong thing. It's worse saying the wrong thing, isn't it? That just looks stupid. It's not speech therapy. It is speech therapy. I could have gone and not embarrassed myself. And when I do my speech therapy, I feel his pleasure. And then when you say, oh, I'm tired from work, I'm tired from the Lord feeling the pleasure of the Lord in my work, it's going to be very hard to say, isn't it? I didn't do you, did I, brother? I know it's to do with charity work. And when I do my charity work, you know, and I'm sure, I don't know what I've got to say. I haven't got one to pick. I don't work at the minute, so that's no good, is it? And when I'm sitting at home preparing a meal, I feel his pleasure. Now, that's all I want for you to feel. How can I make my life more holy, more godly, when I do my every day, I feel the pleasure of the Lord in what I do? And the way to do that is stay close to the Word. Look at Jesus. Look at what he's done for you. Look what he does for you. Look where your final destination is. You're going to heaven to be with your brothers and sisters and the Lord God Almighty.